Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg and Mega Pros Home Improvement and Restoration, Joe Cotton Ford, PermaSeal, and attorney Stephen A. Leahy. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/homesweethomechicago. Now, here's Dane Neal and Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Home Sweet Home Chicago. It is Dane Neal in for the incomparable David Hochberg. We've got a great show on tap for you today. In studio with us, we have Roy Spencer with PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Morning, Dane.
We've got Tracy Kahn with Joe Cotton Ford.
Morning.
We've got Stephen Leahy, IRS tax attorney. This is coming up to his time of year.
It certainly is.
And Joe Hoga with Mega Pros. Is it?
So he's absolutely.
Next time is absolutely a favorite time.
It takes a village, right, Stephen? And you got to be there for people. And this is your time.
It absolutely is.
Do you ever feel opposite of everybody else in the world?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Most days.
And Joe Hoga from Mega Pros. It is always Mega Pros time. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good to see you, Dane.
Yeah, so we're going to have a great show on tap. We're going to talk a lot about some of these subjects. It is that time of year, not only for Stephen Leahy, but a lot with the whether it's the floods or the construction. People are looking at new things and, of course, new cars, too. And we're going to talk about how you can get those. But first, Elwood Brother, how many miles is it to Chicago?
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hello, Chicago.
My name is David Hochberg, host of Home Sweet Home Chicago.
That's the best in the city of Chicago.
Where you from?
Chicago.
We're on a mission from God.
It's time for Home Sweet Home Chicago. Here's David Hochberg.
And we are back. It is Daniel here with you, in for David Hochberg. So this is the second time that I've got to host this program. It was a great program, obviously a fan favorite for listeners of WGN. And yes, you get into a lot of the things related to homes. If David were here, we'd be talking a lot of mortgage stuff, probably, or some of the ways that people help with that. But it is one of those kind of eclectic blends of a show. Where,
do you like hosting it?
Do I like it? Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. What? Well, it's a lot different than maybe
a real radio show?
No. No, it is every bit of that, because it's people kind of talking with people and sort of the range that you guys bring to it. Everybody has something that has to and applies to what it is that you guys do. Well, you asked me, so I'm going to ask you, Stephen, do you like doing this show?
Absolutely. Even when, especially when David's not here.
No.
I'm just,
no, I know he's okay.
I know he's listening.
He's okay.
So
that's
I'm
a great
just taking a shot at
there.
Him.
Yeah.
and Roy, like, your thoughts on the show. Obviously, it's great to be that resource for people, and it's good for business and all that. But just from, like, the doing a radio show perspective, people love your commercials, but here you're live.
Yeah, I honestly, I love right here, the chemistry. And we always talk about the show off the show, in between breaks and stuff, and just mixing with these guys and stuff. It's just fun.
And being a part of radio, it's great to be in on some of it. So, Tracy, your thoughts? This is off the air, as Roy was just mentioning. We were talking about it's a good time to be in the car business. It's also kind of a frustrating and challenging time.
Oh, it's a very challenging time. But, you know, it's things are good. As Roy and I were talking about before, it's, you know, we have more customers than we can get vehicles for. And it's better than having more vehicles than we have customers for. So it's we're on the good side of the business right now. But there are definitely challenges.
And Joe, we're going to talk about some of the things that you're doing within that subject matter where you are an expert, but also off the air, talking a little vacations, right? Getting out there and then...
Well, you're a travel host,
you
right?
No, I have done a lot of travel stuff, right. So certainly, yeah, but it's gloomy out here. It's time for
it's
a lot
gloomy,
of people to get away.
And Tracy was talking about Costa Rica.
Yes.
Roy was talking about Colorado. And Steve was talking about taxes.
Not taxes.
See what I'm saying? His life is different.
Do you guys feel, and before we go to break, and then we'll come back and we'll kind of get into some of these subjects, but the more places I go, the more I travel, the more I love Chicago. You know, it's the kind of thing, like, you'll go places, it's sunny, and it's wonderful, but it isn't like it's that every day. It makes me miss home more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. My wife turned, I don't want to say what she turned, her birthday was last month. So where else would we come but Chicago? And we had to come downtown, and we went to a nice restaurant and went and saw a play, and there's so much to do down here, and it's such a beautiful city, so I agree.
It's good to see things opening up, too, so hopefully this summer will be mm-hmm. different than last summer and the summer before, where people can get in and enjoy, you know, one of America's great cities. So all of our experts are going to be in on this episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago, including you, and you can get in on it by calling the Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200. When we come back, we'll continue the program, so keep it here, 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Roy Spencer, Mr. Permaseal.
You know, as far as your product, what's the process with that?
We have our Permaseal way of doing things, but it starts with
crack.
The entire crack, the most common crack, structural crack, excavate the crack, seed the crack. But that's just crack repair. And there may be a crack there, there may be not.
I'm also thinking about being a crack dealer. But not like a main crack dealer, but like a nice one. It's kind of friendly, like, hey. What's up, guys?
Crack talk with Mr. Permaseal.
Here's Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Well, Good job, Roy.
720 WGN. It is Home Sweet Home Chicago. Daniel in for David Hochberg. You hear about potential crack dealers. So Roy Spencer, he's a crack healer, right? That's what you do.
That was good.
Yeah, well,
way to clean it up.
312-981-7200. The Mega Pros call and text line. You can add your thoughts if you've got some questions on this. We talked about Stephen and tax time, and this is that time of year, right? For a lot of people, whether they're trying to think of, it's a brand new year, things they want to do maybe with their basement, repairs they want to make, or maybe there's some challenges that they're dealing with, right? This is the time when some of that stuff shows up.
Yeah, and most of the time when people decide to do something, it's not out of, oh, let's get to this. It's like, holy cats, we got water in the basement. We have to do something, and they get the wake-up call from, you know, a rain like we had last night or we're getting today and things like that. So it's more of like, oh, we didn't see this, and it's more of a reactive than a proactive thing. So
you guys do sort of come to the rescue in a bunch of different ways, and I think I heard off the air, you know, maybe you have 100 trucks that are out there. Roy Spencer is not driving each and every one of them, so there are people that are doing that. And one of sort of the common stories over the last couple of years is the great resignation and how the entire job market has sort of shifted, and people are kind of taking looks at what it is that they want to do, what they want to kind of be, where they want to be, and kind of the stuff. And I loved, and this was happening maybe even a little bit before the pandemic, is people were starting to consider the trades and things like that as an alternative to just a four-year college degree. And you hear all those stories about people out there with the degree and no job to go along with it when all this stuff still needs to be done. So let's talk about some of the things that you're doing. So people, you know, you're hiring, but you also have this opportunity to kind of create, whether it's educational opportunities or career opportunities over at Permaseal.
Yeah, thank you, Dane. To put things in perspective, when the pandemic hit in March 2020, we hired 100 people that year. We have a 300-person company.
Wow.
But 100 of them. So when everybody else was laying off and furloughing, we had a big storm that year, and we had a pent-up demand because people don't go into the trades and things, and all of a sudden we have all these talented people on the market that were being laid off through no fault of their own, and we hired them, and we needed them because we've had this pent-up growth. And honestly, we're looking to hire another 100 people in the next year or two. So we've got, thank you for tying that together. There's almost like a perfect storm. You know, everybody's hearing about the huge student debt that they're having and the tremendous opportunities that are available in the trades. And people, and especially young people, I think they it behooved them to look at that. Rather, I was thinking last week, well, it's March already, and so we got May graduates coming out, high school, college graduates. And rather than making, you know, someone, you know, they're on the right track going to college, but a lot of people aren't, and they should consider alternatives. And I just want to talk about today some of the great career paths we have at Permaseal.
Well, it's one of those things that you think about is like, well, what are people going to necessarily do? What is it that they want to do? And through the way that so many WGN listeners know you is through the commercials, and through the process of a commercial, you just make it seem easy, right? You're not going to make it complicated or go into detail. It's you call us, we help, and we fix it. But it's nice to have a little bit of that mystery kind of shared on the program. Where we've got Griffin Callens. He is on the line with us right now. And Roy, you're going to have him kind of help and share. So when people think, well, maybe this is something I would consider, well, what are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Griffin. You there?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks for calling in, bud. Hey, yeah, I really like Griffin's story. He's a recent college graduate. I think, was it a year and a half ago, Griffin, you graduated?
Just about 2 years.
2 years now. And so did you grow up wanting to be a waterproofer, or what led you to PermaSeal's door?
So I got referred to PermaSeal when I was looking for summer work in college. You guys hired me on as in poly-level or concrete repair, and just really fell in love with the culture, the people, and the line of work, and then really decided to really the only place I applied was PermaSeal after I graduated.
Yeah, I it's okay to mention names, I think. I think it's Lou Manfredini, actually, Small World. Yep. He referred Griffin. He's a family friend. And so we do have, you know, college students come and work for the summer, and even high school students and stuff. And kudos to you, Griffin, for that. That's bull work, you know. You're coming in and doing very hard work. So to come back, you know, I really appreciate the reasons he came back. You heard, you know, is the culture. Hey, this is a great place to work. And, again, that's our story, that people aren't aware of that. So of course it's hard work and things like that, but the opportunity here is an immense. So I was really struck by Griffin, because where'd you go to school, Griffin? Where'd you graduate from?
University of Arizona.
So I remember, Griffin, you called, you wanted to come in for an interview for the job. We have a preventive maintenance technician job he was applying for, and he has to interview, and he was in Arizona, and he flew himself out just for the interview. He's still in school, but you know, on his own nickel, he flew out just to interview for the job. So I was really taken with that, the initiative, and then he just showed up, and you know, really a lot of moxie and the kind of things we were looking for in people. So Griffin, can you tell our audience what you do as a preventive maintenance technician? Because I think a lot of people, they see that title and say, well, I can't do that, I don't know what that is. Can you tell us what you do?
Yeah, so what I'm doing is going into homes where we've already done work. I usually go to a home once a year there, and I do a general inspection, looking at the work we've done, making sure everything is holding up the way we'd like it, and then looking at things like sump pumps, walls, water heaters, window wells, and making sure there's going to be no issues that coming when the big rains hit. I suggest possible repairs or services we can do, and if the customer moves forward with those services or repairs, I am compensated.
So basically, you know, that's our program. We have a preventive maintenance program where anybody who does work with PermaSeal is entitled to a free inspection. The first year is free, and somebody like Griffin goes out and does a 15-point inspection on their home to make sure our pumps are working, batteries and drains and everything's working, and that's complimentary, and it helps avoid people having problems. They have a warranty. If they have a problem, it'll come out anyhow, but we don't want them to have a problem. So that's why we established a program. But in the process, as Griffin alluded to, there's things that people, they might have new problems. We might have new products or services like concrete raising or permafoam insulation and things that maybe people didn't have at the time, or maybe they didn't want the basement defender at the time, or didn't want to encapsulate their crawl space. So Griffin has the opportunity to upsell those
things. He's kind of like that ambassador, right? So he's there looking at things, making sure everything's on track and still holding together. But also, as the industry changes, and even though it's one of those industries that you think, okay, it is what it is, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, advances happening all the time in what you guys do.
Absolutely. And it's our way. We have customers for life. A lot of times we have lifetime warranties, and we don't want them to have problems. So having this maintenance program is just ideal. So after the first year, it's like $115 and stuff, and you can do it or not do it. It's your customer's choice. But a large percentage of our customers really like having that peace of mind.
It's like a win-win for everybody. You mentioned early on in the segment where it's like people don't usually call you until it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Right?
And we don't want that. We actually want to, you know, and we were talking the other day about, you know, we camera sewer lines, and why would you do that? And Dane, how's your sewer line today? What kind of shape's it in?
I haven't put my camera down there very often. I don't know.
Don't. Yeah, most people don't. And you should know, because otherwise they all degrade and they all can flood. So this is one of the things that Griffin can offer you as well. So Griffin, could you quickly talk about your career path at PermaSeal, you know, how you've done, and it's okay, share what you want, but, you know, why you would recommend this or not recommend it to an upcoming college graduate?
Yeah, so I came into PermaSeal knowing absolutely nothing about waterproofing or any type of construction work, and we really do have the best training possible. So if there's a college student out there worried that they don't know anything about this line of work. They're not going to do well. PermSeal really does take care of any flaws or anything that you might not know. I always do recommend PermSeal to anyone looking for a new job, either in the office or out in, as a preventive maintenance technician or as a salesperson. There's a lot of room to grow, and it's been a wonderful experience for me so far.
How's your compensation? Is that what you expected? More, better, worse?
I did not think I was going to be making what I do at 25 right now. I was surprised at really how much I can do at this age.
Are you getting paid for today, Griffin, for being on the radio? Or no?
I'll have to call Laura about this after.
Call Laura and say, Joe said, you got to get paid.
Not a paid endorsement. I asked Griffin if he'd be willing to, and he was more than happy.
I understand. He
promotes us.
Give him something.
Anyhow.
What, a PermSeal t-shirt or something?
Yeah. Well, I think, Griffin, we're all aware, and we get a lot of referrals from our employees because they know we need help, and they want to work with other like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a lot of guys on our preventive maintenance technicians. We've got a lot of recent college graduates, and I think there's great camaraderie. I don't want to speak for you, Griffin, but how's the chemistry on that team?
Yeah, I love the guys I work with. Yeah, I enjoy going to work and seeing them every time at meetings.
It's important.
It's always good when you enjoy what you do.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Griffin. Appreciate it. Appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, go back to work.
Are you working today, Griffin?
I don't know if we can bring him back.
Is he working today?
No, I cleared him.
We've got him back.
Morning. Okay.
Griffin, are you working today?
No, I'm off today.
What are you going to do?
Go to lunch with my girlfriend. That might be about it.
Nice. Take care of your girlfriend.
Will do.
Okay. See, it's all about quality of life at PermSeal, right? Everybody's
and girlfriends.
Well, I mean, and that kind of factors in certain situations, of course. But I think it's important to share that too, because people can look at maybe what a job is on paper, but there's those intangibles that really add into whether people are happy, whether they feel like they're valued, whether they feel like. I think it was great to have Griffin on too, because it isn't necessarily the first thing that you'd think of a college graduate in a field necessarily like this, but he seems super excited for it and those opportunities. We're going to talk a little bit about more of those, as well as some of the tech stuff and your calls too in the Mega Pros call and text line 312-981-7200 when we continue our conversation. Home Sweet Home Chicago. We'll talk with Roy Spencer. It's Dane. Keep it here. 720 WGN. 720 WGN is Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Dane. Dane, that was almost like I had to tell you what to do.
Well, no, because I thought we were going to have bumpers for everything, so I was kind of waiting, because sometimes there'll be an eclectic blend of music that'll kick in here. And though we are continuing our conversation with Roy Spencer from PermSeal, 312-981-7200 for the Mega Pros call and text line. And Roy, in the last segment we talked with Griffin, he was sharing his experience being a college graduate coming in to PermSeal and being a part of really with the team, right? And so it wasn't necessarily just about the work he was doing. He seemed happy with that, but he loved the culture. He loved kind of getting with everybody and just being part of the PermSeal team.
Yeah, actually, we use the word tribe at our company, and it's okay. But honestly, again, our challenge is not retaining people so much. It's getting people to know that we have opportunities here and what it's like working at PermSeal. It really is. It's not a job. It's a career. Everybody at PermSeal has a career path. And so, in fact, one of his coworkers, and Antonio, started the same time his, and he's moving from a preventive maintenance technician to one of our sales consultants. And in just a year's time, he's done that well, and he's ready to take the next step and things like that. And our managers, sales managers, come from our consultants, and our directors come from that. So our installers, a lot of our field supervisors and our managers come out of the field and things like that. So there's a tremendous amount of career opportunity. That's part of being part of an exciting, growing company where there's always opportunity for people who want it and things like that. So that's one of the advantages of working at PermSeal.
To have that farm system sort of in place, I think it from retention, so there's benefits there, but also, like you're intimating, you get people that are in positions that are making decisions based on jobs that they know.
Yeah.
They've been there, they've done that, they understand all aspects of it. I think that's key.
Yeah, we're not looking for people with waterproofing experience. Nobody does it like we do anyhow. So we'd rather take a blank sheet of paper and train them. Here's what we how we want to do things done in people's homes and technically with the work and things like that. So more than happy to train people who know nothing about our industry. And Griffin, when he came on, knew very little about sales and how to promote things. And so he's given that training as well as the technical training, things like that. So that's one of the great reasons work at PermaSeal is you just – what we're looking for is come to with a good attitude, you know, and Griffin is a great young man, and he's ambitious and smart and things like that. And that's really what we're looking for throughout our company. We will provide the rest.
You mentioned the career path, and it's one thing for people to think, okay, well, I'll do this, I'll end up here. Do you sit down with them so it's maybe even clearer? Like, here's, you're going to spend maybe a year and a half doing this, and then maybe we'll move you over here, and then eventually, ultimately, decades from now, you'll be Roy Spencer. I mean, do you have that whole path kind of laid out where they can see where they'll go?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we do quarterly check-ins. All our employees get a quarterly check-in with their manager. How are things going, you know, and what are your goals, and how are we doing towards that goal and things like that. So yeah, it's giving mentoring, coaching, encouragement. We really have want to nurture people like that. So that's a big part of it. The other part is Griffin alluded, he just really likes the people he works with. And that's not coincidental, because in our recruiting and our interviewing and hiring process, we're looking for like-minded people, people who share our core values. Our mission is to make the world a better place, and that's important to our people. If it's not important to you, doesn't make you a bad person, you're just probably not a great fit for PermaSeal.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in working hard seriously, you don't believe in striving to get better, doing what you say you're going to do, being compassionate, acting with urgency, and creating, inspiring creativity, optimism, and fun, you're probably not the right person for PermaSeal. But if you are those, please give us a call, 800-421-SEAL, or go to careers@permaseal.net, and you can fill out an application, and you'll see we have openings throughout the tribe. And so we have a collection of like-minded people, and that's why the people who are there, hey, I like these people because they think like I do.
Opportunities for the future, good pay. You know, Griffin seemed to be happy with that, and if you're enthusiastic and if you like to have fun, PermaSeal may be the place for you. On the other side of it, on the customer side, you mentioned, you know, people calling oftentimes when they're having, you know, challenges. You know, when you get people within the tribe on the customer side, they're, you know, they understand what's going on. Hopefully they're being proactive with things. But is this time of year the time of year where you get more calls from people you don't know yet?
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope Stephen doesn't mind sharing this season with us, but it's kind of our season too. The spring rains are starting to roll in, and sometimes we'll get a torrential rain all of a sudden. We just never know when, and so we're gearing up. That's why we need to hire more people, and Griffin's off today, but if it had been pouring down rain, he'd be working today. He's one of our emergency, our preventive maintenance technicians, double down as our emergency crew, and people's our pumps are out. We'll be out within 24 hours and get those replace and stuff like that. So we're big at proactive at PermaSeal, trying to get people to have their pumps checked regularly, not waiting until they fail, have their sewer lines camered and things, instead of waiting until there's a backup, utilizing our basement defender, which tests your pumps every day, having a preventive maintenance checkup or a free inspection in your basement. So don't wait until you have a problem. There's going to be thousands of people who are going to have problems as these rains continue, but you should not be living with a wet basement at all, no matter how much it rains. And it can be so if you have a problem, get it fixed. It's not going to get any better. And if you're worried about potential problems, you've had a problem in the past, the inspection is free.
We gave a little insight into the career side of things and sort of the operational job side of things at PermaSeal. In my mind, I imagine, is there like a PermaSeal command center where you have different, like the entire Chicagoland area up there? Because there's got to be some areas where you almost get no calls from just by the way that they are, the groundwater or just the elevation. And there's some places where, you know, they're dealing with this stuff on a regular, I mean, it's just pervasive in that neighborhood or that area.
Yeah, Dan, you know, we've been in business for 43 years, so we've been very diligent about tracking where our business comes from. And do you know where that is?
Don't say everywhere.
No. It's where it rains.
Okay.
So there are, you know, there's some areas that are more prone to sewer backup. There's some areas that have iron oak and things. We're aware of those situations. But honestly, all construction, all basements, all crawl spaces are subject to the seepage and flooding. And so it really doesn't matter where you live. If it's raining, you're subject to problems.
We've got like 1 minute, and we can probably.
I was going to ask Roy, how many sump pumps fail?
That would be all of them. Joe, thank you.
That was a loaded question, Joe.
100%.
100%.
Right? I mean, that's, Joe, come on, that's it. You know, people think, okay, you get something. Things only work till they don't work. You know, and if it's made by people, eventually it's going to fail. We've got like just 30 seconds left. We've only got a little bit of time, actually, if we're going by the David Hochberg time system. But we do have Dave. He is a new PermaSeal salesman. He wants to get on the line. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Good. Thanks for calling in, Dave.
Good. No problem. I was listening to the show and heard Griffin talk and, you know, just about the excitement about his new career. And after making a change after 17 years, you couldn't pay me enough to go back after I've learned what I have at PermaSeal.
So, Dave, what line of work were you in prior?
It's called the car business for 17 years.
There you go, Tracy.
Sorry, Tracy. Sorry, Tracy.
No. So, Dave, thank you so much. Can you tell us what a couple things that you like about PermaSeal and our industry?
Well, it's definitely, I knew, like Griff, zero about waterproofing, and it was a little bit of a risk to try to make that move, but the training and the culture is really what, you know, you learn about, and then what keeps you there, and it's really a supportive environment where you feel like you can't fail doing the work and putting in the time and being the proper training, which the training is the best I've ever seen out of any company or manufacturer that's done training. I got to give it to these guys. They really not just anybody looking at into doing it. Definitely vote well.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. So people are coming in from all over, echoing, right? That's, you know, to have people inspired to kind of weigh in on this, I think, is a testament to some of the things that are happening.
We were just kidding about Griffin getting paid.
No, I mean,
tell Dave that. I want a piece of that.
How about paid in additional job satisfaction?
I suppose.
And I think Roy must have every one of his vehicles tuned into the show, too.
There's a company newsletter. You know, just got to get people engaged, got to keep the tribe in on things. We're going to take a break when we come back. More Home Sweet Home Chicago with Daniel in for Dave Hochberg. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
The bodies coming into the trades, the amount of people that are going out due to age and retirement, the attrition is greater than the addition. Look at that. Put that on a bumper sticker.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wow.
Joe, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but wrong.
Oh!
A lot of these people, a lot of these young people are exploring the trades. I'm telling you.
Now back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg. Home Sweet Home Chicago.
It's good to hear David's voice.
I know, and he's in on a lot of the commercials. He's in on the thing. So
sometimes I hear him in my sleep.
We don't want to have a deficit here.
A lot of Hochberg.
Right, a Hochberg deficiency could happen. 312-981-7200 for the Mega Pros call and text line. You could do that. We're going to be talking with Tracy Kahn from Cotton Ford in just a second, but the hits keep coming, and we do have Bob, who really quickly wants to compliment Roy and Permacy.
We got to let him know, Bob, that he's not going to get paid either.
maybe
Bob,
a coupon.
Paid, babe.
Bob, welcome in.
Hi, great show. You know, I'm listening to you guys, and I had the PermaSeal do a job for me on flooding in my basement about 6-7 months ago, and they did a great job, and no problems. They did the system. Nobody else could do it. They come in, did it, clean job, great work. I recommend them to anybody.
All right, there you go.
Thank you very
There's
much,
There's
Bob.
One, Roy.
There you go. All right, thank
one.
You, Bob.
Right.
Have a great rest of your weekend.
Next car. Team up.
Exactly.
Thank you, Bob.
So Tracy, we're going to start off on another kind of unfortunate note that apparently, you know, someone from the car industry has transferred over to the PermaSeal industry, so you're working with less people.
No wonder we're having so much trouble finding these technicians.
They're all coming.
But it's a good news, bad news thing. The car business has never been hotter, with more people trying to get cars, interested in cars, some of the cars that you have and some that you have and will have, right? It's a kind of a give-take thing.
It is. So what we're focusing on right now is we try to keep a good mix of vehicles so that we have things that you can look at and drive. But mostly we're ordering vehicles for people right now because there's just not enough vehicles out. So most of the vehicles we have coming in are already sold.
Initially, when it was the supply chain thing, people were frustrated. But now I think everybody's sort of, you know, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, people are up to speed. You know, that you're going to have to wait for certain things if you want them. One thing you know is that time is going to come. So if you got to wait 6 months for a car, that 6 months is going to happen and you'll be set. So is that part of it where on the sales side, you're kind of just getting people, you know, into the process of this is how it's going
to
work?
Yes, to some extent it is. Part of what our business used to be is the instant gratification thing where people would come in and there would be emotion involved in buying vehicles. They could see it, they could smell it, they could feel it, and they wanted to take it home. So it's not as much of that today as it used to be. Now there's more people who are figuring out exactly what I want on this vehicle. They build it on the computer first, and then they'll come in and then they order it exactly the way they want it.
So you don't really need salesmen anymore. You just put a kiock in your showroom and people come in and order. Like McDonald's, order
don't
what they
suggest
want.
That.
And then my people will go to work for PermaSeal.
There you go.
I think that's what Roy's looking for.
Because Roy's hiring.
Yeah, I see the angle here.
But now, Trace, Mavericks.
Mavericks.
Mavericks are the hot item.
They are the hottest item right now. It's a small vehicle, as you know. It gets great gas mileage, 43 miles per gallon.
Wow.
And it's inexpensive.
It's
25,
a pickup?
A 20 pickup to 20, back. And it's a pickup truck bed, 4.5-foot pickup bed, but
four
it's a four-door. Yeah, four seats, and it's a four-door pickup truck. So it's inexpensive, but it's also functional. So
and it's not even just that. You know, so the pricing is good. It's functional. You're mentioning all these practical things about it. But if you take a look at it, and we'll encourage the listeners to do so, it's really cool.
Yeah, it really is. And getting all these accolades from J.D. Power and these mm-hmm. other companies, North American Truck of the Year and all of this, it grabs people's attention. And then they see the price and they're like, no way, it can't
so
be that cheap.
So 20 grand?
Most of them that we're selling are 25 to 28,000.
Okay.
Yes, it starts at 20,000, but most of what we're selling are in the 25 to 28 range.
Nice.
It's kind of interesting to see sort of worlds that were apart before on the car or truck buying experience where you had things where there's practicality or functionality, but maybe then it didn't get good gas mileage, or maybe you couldn't put a bunch of people in it or some of those things. And you're seeing now where Ford, especially with the Maverick, where they're trying to take all the things that people would want in and kind of put it all in one vehicle.
Right. And I have two kids that work in the business, and each of them ordered a Maverick because they know what's out there. They know what things cost. They know what repairs are, and they know what gets good fuel economy. And this just kind of seemed to put everything together in one vehicle.
Do they have to wait for their Maverick?
Absolutely. Okay. They have to order them just like everybody else.
When you say they're in the business, are they in the PermaSeal business?
Not yet.
I hope they're not listening.
When we come back from the news break, we're going to go into a little bit of that, how people are ordering, how they're getting some of the information on it, and just how maybe technology is helping to kind of fill those gaps where you don't have a car maybe in front of you, but you do have some of those tech assets to be able to show people what it is and what they can do. And that's another thing that people are sort of up to speed with, right? They know what they're doing, and they know how to access. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's Daniel for Dave Hochberg here on 720. WGN. All right, thank you. 720 WGN. We are back. Home Sweet Home Chicago in studio with us. We do have Roy Spencer from PermaSeal, Tracy Kahn, Joe Cotton, Ford, Stephen Leahy, IRS tax attorney, and from Mega Pros, Joe Hogle. Continuing our conversation with Tracy Kahn over at Joe Cotton Ford. And so in the last segment we were talking about, it's a good time of year, a lot of demand, a lot of interest, people excited about the cars. You've got the challenges of the supply chain, and you don't necessarily have them with you, but on the technology side, there's so many resources that people have online to feel like they can experience the car or build their own car, the things that they never had maybe years ago.
Right. So obviously, probably every manufacturer has a site where they can build their own vehicle and put it, you know, and they'll actually even show you a picture of what it looks like when you build it exactly the way you want it. But, you know, technology is a double-edged sword. That's part of the reason we're in the problem we're in right now with the chips. As there's more technology, lane keeping and adaptive cruise control and all of these things, they all take more chips. Everything takes more chips. I was just reading the new F-150. 50 has 1,772 chips.
Unbelievable.
Which is 1,700.
1,700 chips.
Now, I don't know if I'm, you know, typical for the listeners, but I imagine there'd be a handful of chips, right? Sure. It wouldn't be so many of them. You know, it's the kind of thing that, I mean, you almost need a special technician to be, I mean, that'd be a whole separate job. Typically, though, Tracy, in the factory, would they show up on your lot with all the chips, right?
Up to this point, yes. Now, starting this coming week, we're supposed to start getting vehicles. They call them VOWs, vehicles on wheels, and they're going to come without chips. Now, the one thing I do need to look is to see if they have the Hochberg barometric pressure chip.
That's a serious upgrade. That's for the opulent consumer who wants everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, I mean, if you want your car to perform at its top
pressure.
Top peak, you have to know what the barometric pressure is.
I know. Sure. David doesn't leave the house without checking his barometric pressure.
He wears a backpack barometric pressure device that he knows, so he has up-to-date stuff.
It's not wrong. I mean, he's getting away.
I didn't say what's wrong.
Okay.
No. Well, and now, do you feel like, though, initially, maybe a year or so ago, people were up in arms about this and not sure what to do, or maybe you were getting some complaints. Do you feel like everybody sort of understands that this is just part of the business now?
It is. It's getting better. And, you know, it's not just our industry. It's every industry was going through problems with getting cabinets, with getting, you know, parts for different machinery. And even for us still today, getting parts for some of the vehicles that are in for service. It's still an issue. The supply chain is still a problem. The chips are still a problem.
When the chips are down.
That's right.
Try to get your IRS refund.
And go to work for Roy.
Well, we had talked in the last segment about the Maverick. It is really cool. I think it ticks all the boxes as far as great gas mileage. It's functional. It's practical. It's cool. And, you know, but it's the kind of car you would typically have in stock in a regular situation. Whereas the Bronco, which is a car that people were talking about for years coming up. And it's one of those that has come back. It's got a huge fan base already. People were so excited about it. So that's the kind of car, regardless of everything that's happened over the couple years, you expect to have sort of on hold or on order. But talk a little bit about that for people that are fans of that car, because now they're seeing them not only in advertisements or the auto show, they're seeing them out on the street today and are thinking, I want one of those.
Right. And there's market is beginning to get a little bit better, actually better than the Maverick market right now. Mm. More of the Broncos are starting to come in. They're starting to get some of the hard tops for those, which was a big issue for a while. But we do have two in stock. We have a two-door and a four-door in stock, and we keep those so that people can see them and drive them and sit in them and see if it's something that they want. And compare it to Jeep is the only really real competitor for that. But to compare the two, and that way you can actually see it at our dealership.
When you say convertible, is it a push-a-button convertible?
No, it's a manual convertible, but the top will go back and it will uncover the first and second row of the there is no third row seating in that, but it'll but it opens all the way up.
Nice. So you've just got two of these and you're sure, do you call and make a reservation to so you can test drive it or something? Or
no, we keep them there all the time, and actually we put them out by the street so people can see them, and as they drive by, sometimes people honk the horn because they see them. They're out by the road.
1,700 chips, doing a lot of things that cars and trucks maybe didn't do years ago. A lot of different cool elements and bells and whistles. One of the things that they're, you know, something's got to give. Right, Tracy? You can't have everything and keep everything. We got Maria in Lake Geneva. She wants to know why they're not putting CD players in cars anymore. Maria, welcome to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Or 8-track players.
So the reason they don't put CD players in cars anymore is because the technology has evolved. We don't have cassette players anymore. We don't have 8-tracks anymore. And so now we don't have CDs anymore. Everybody has an MP3 player, or most people just have it on their phone. But most of them have Bluetooth in them now, and you can actually play something that's on your phone over there, and you don't have to carry CDs, and you don't have to worry about hitting a bump and it skipping or anything like that. It's just the technology has evolved.
Well, Tracy, you mentioned everybody. Maria, are you part of that group called Everybody?
No, I'm not. And I think, first of all, I'm familiar with Siri and all of those kinds of things, but I've got such beautiful CDs that it's a shame that I can't be playing them anymore. I know I can stream, and I can stream with radio stations, but then you're always fooling around with it, and I just thought the CDs were so much nicer.
Now, is there like a plug-in or something that maybe could, where you could put a different device, maybe a CD player, where you could kind of
I actually have seen there are some CD players that hook up to the USB port on the vehicles. So they actually do make one that you can have, and then it plugs into the cigarette lighter so that you can actually play a CD through your system. It's a little cumbersome, but it is possible.
So if she orders one today, will you throw that in?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, well, I still have paper calendars, too, so I'm behind the times, I guess.
So does my wife.
All right, thanks, Maria. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you for your show. Bye-bye.
Steve, you still have an ashtray in your car, don't you?
Well, I heard the cigarette lighter. I'm thinking, cigarette lighter?
Yeah.
You got an ashtray in your car, right?
Yeah, cigarette package. No. It actually comes with an ashtray, and it has a cigarette lighter that you can actually push it and light your cigarette.
No way.
Yeah.
Is that an option?
It is.
Huh.
Wow.
But the ashtray is just a little thing that fits in the cup holder. It just slides in there, and it has the little lid, and it has a little cigarette holder. But
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some things, you know, new things happen. Some things fall by the wayside, like cigarette lighters. Maybe CD players will figure a way to include it all and give people what it is that they want. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more Home Sweet Home Chicago. So keep it here, 720 WGN.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
Thanks, Bob. You did your name right that
I got
time
the name
there,
right, and maybe some other things.
You killed it. How's the barometer doing?
Barometer right now?
Yeah, because Don Kleppen always gives the barometer.
You mean actual like levels of mercury, that barometer?
Well, I don't know. Let's not get too detailed. Okay. Just ask Kleppen what he gives us and follow. Just stay in your lane.
Kleppen's
right?
Gone for the day. He's out of here.
I know, in his flannel shirt. Whatever Kleppen does, that's what I'm looking for.
Did he explain why he's wearing a flannel shirt? It's like 90.
Right, he's from Wisconsin. Just let it go. That explains it.
Now back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg here. Home Sweet Home Chicago. You can join the conversation. Call text line, the Mega Pros. Call and text line 312-981-7200. Earlier in the program, we talked about the season. Roy had mentioned that this time of year, people call him and maybe they're in a panic, right, because they've got an issue. And people are calling Stephen Leahy as well, tax attorney. But also, this is like the regular season. So people who are just doing the right thing in the right way, you are their favorite guy, or at least a popular number to call. Stephen?
Actually, I'm not a favorite guy because now it's so late in the season. If you call me and say, hey, can you do my tax returns? The answer is probably no.
Oh, no.
Because it's too late.
Okay.
I've got a long queue of people. You know, and there's a deadline, right? It's coming up. So if you start putting people in, and I don't generally do single individual tax returns like you go to H&R Block. That's not my client. My client is generally people who are working for themselves. So they have their own job, their own business. We were talking a little bit about that in between segments about what people should do with their tax returns. First, if you're running your business, you should not put your business on your personal tax returns. And this is a mistake because this is what the IRS is looking for red flags in order to audit you. We don't want to get audited.
There's your advice right there.
We don't want to get audited. So my advice to people who are running a business is treat your business like a business. It's separate than you. It is not a job that you have that you just do, right? So that means get a separate bank account, keep good records, these types of things that I think that people, I don't really make enough money to worry about that stuff. And I just tell people, who pays the most money in taxes in our society? Small business people, because they don't take the deductions that they're entitled to, and they also pay too much because they're paying self-employment tax because they don't have the right business structure. And so they pay too much, in my opinion.
It's a good point. And as we kind of feature and highlight on this program, people within the trades and some construction and related like that, what is sort of the kind of the yearly workflow of a Stephen Leahy? So right now you're finalizing a lot of things, getting ready, and obviously you've got a lot of things already done. Once it gets to be, you know, April 15th, is this the time where you're just sleeping late, relaxing, you're on a beach somewhere? Yes. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes. I'm
eating hot dogs.
Joe knows he's got the Stephen can.
No, you're exactly right. He goes to sleep. It's like a groundhog thing. So April 15th, you go to sleep, but Steve still wears that same outfit.
You got to be ready.
Still wears the
shirt,
tie,
always wear the
fedora.
Hey, you got to look like a tax attorney.
Yes, yes. So, all year long, that's all he does is look like a tax attorney.
So to answer your question correctly, the answer is most people who come to see me, it's an ongoing. involvement, because when you're dealing with the IRS, if you're behind in your tax return, so this is what I wanted to, we're coming to April 18th, because 18th is the date this year, and your taxes are due. If you haven't filed your tax return, you know that. Right, you know you haven't filed in a couple of years, and always when you hear about it, you want to like turn off the radio because it's like I don't want to even think about that. I haven't got. I'll get to that. But here's my advice to people: if you haven't filed your tax return, or if you're thinking you shouldn't file your tax return, file it. Even if you owe the IRS money, file the return. And the reason is there are what they call, you've heard of statutes of limitations, right? How long they can come after you. If you do not file, that date never starts, never begins. So that means your IRS problem will never end. So you want to file even if you owe the IRS money, because then you have a definite date after which the IRS can't come after you anymore.
Wow, that's good advice, because I think people think, well, if you get past whatever that time period is, then that's the time period. But the clock doesn't start, right?
Doesn't start. So it's 10 years from the date of assessment. Mm-hmm. And if it never gets assessed, it never starts. And again, that's what people do. And of course, what will happen when people come to see me, oftentimes they haven't filed in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. 20 years I've had people.
Yikes.
Yeah. And this is what really incapacitates them, right? Because they get paralyzed. Like, what do I do?
Right.
I haven't filed in 20 years. I mean, there's nothing I can do. And there is something you can do. Here, the good news is the IRS won't go back for 20 years. They call you in compliance if you just file the last 6 years of tax returns.
Oh, gotcha.
So now, if you have 6 years of tax returns that you haven't filed, the number you owe and you're running your own business, probably going to be fairly large, right? And you're going to owe a lot of interest. That's where the IRS is really going to hit you hard. Now that, again, sometimes that paralyzes people. It's like, that number's so big, I can't even look at it. But there is a sum that you can't pay more than that. So it doesn't really matter. So whatever that number is.
The average person could owe like $50 million. It doesn't mean
you can't pay it.
Right, exactly.
You know? So there's a number after which it doesn't matter what you owe anymore.
A couple of the points that you had in here is, and this is another reason to go ahead and get in on that, get yourself filed. And then if the number is large, there's an installment plan. So they'll work with you on this.
And a lot of these installment plans can be based on how much you can pay, not on how much you owe. So that's what people are afraid of, because again, the number's so large that they say, I can't, I'm not even going to face it. But again, you can make an installment agreement based on how much you can pay, not on how much you owe.
And one of the other things, too, is there's a 6% increase in the IRS budget. I'm thinking probably more bells and whistles, more fun kind of things for customers and taxpayers to work with. Or is it more money to send people out to go find you?
Okay, this is what's going on. The IRS, there's the Build Back Better plan that was the Joe Biden plan. They want to double the size of the IRS. Okay, they had $80 billion in that legislation for the IRS. And that was mostly to go after people. This 6% increase in the new bill that just passed, the spending bill, the $1.5 trillion, they just gave the IRS $675 million. One of the things that they say they're going
to
do with it...
Was that to pay off people's debts? That's a great idea.
That would have been a great idea. But no, it's going to come after you, okay. Right? What the IRS is having problems with is, we talk a lot about this, everybody's behind in the supply chain. Well, the IRS got hit like everybody else with COVID, and they got behind. And so we started this tax year, this year, where they still have $20 million from last year that they haven't processed. So they're so far behind that they needed, of course, they tell you that they need all. Have you ever met is there ever a government agency who thinks that they have enough money? They all want more, and the IRS is no different. They want more. How much more? More. More, more. Right. But again, they're trying to target to bring that number down, that backlog down. I know there's people that call me and they're still waiting for their refund for last year, for 2020.
Whoa.
Not for 2021. So this is what happened. So how do you make sure, what can you do to make sure that you get your refund timely? Two things. One is file electronically. Okay, you cannot file a paper return because it's going to get put in with a human being has to see it, and it's not going to be seen until the end of the year. Okay, so that's just a
fact. Wow, that's good to know.
File electronically. Second, make sure that your bank information on your tax return is accurate and correct so they can send you the money. Because if you do that, you file electronically and you have the right bank account, that's all. People never even touch that. That's all electronic. Happens automatically. And so they expect that if you do that, they expect that 21 days you can have a refund.
Wow. Yeah. That's where the technology is kind of working in your favor. Absolutely. In a bunch of different ways. Obviously, there's things to deal with. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Stephen Leahy about some of the different things that are happening, not only on the tech side, maybe some things to do and to watch out for, but also the ways people are approaching, whether it's the child tax credit or how to deal with some of the stimulus, you know, things that we never had to deal with before that are part of your taxes now. So quick break. We'll be back more with more Home Sweet Home Chicago, 720 WGN.
Back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Home Sweet Home Chicago. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg, and we are continuing our conversation with Stephen Leahy. It is that time of year. Well, it should have been a couple months ago, right? It was still that time of year. But for those non-proactive people looking for a little bit of advice, a little bit of direction, maybe some inspiration, right? Stephen, you've got that for us. One of the things that I was thinking is people try to stay on top of things. The tax code is always changing. You mentioned some changes, whether it's in the installment plans or the budget of the IRS. But one thing that affected a lot of people were the stimulus checks that happened over the years, or the child tax credit, where people were getting those. Is it pretty straightforward how people deal with those, or is there some special ways to approach that for this year?
Well, everything is individualized, right? So there isn't. But I wanted to mention something, because we were talking here on in between segments about state taxes.
Sure.
And I wanted to mention that because people ask me all the time, do you help people battle the Illinois Department of Revenue? And so my
answer, is battle the right word, or is it to comply?
Well, I mentioned that, right? Comply. It's a battle for the taxpayer, right? It's not here's the thing about the Illinois Department of Revenue. They have all the leverage against you. So one of the first questions they'll ask you is, do you have a license? You know, how many, what kind of work do you need a license for in Illinois? Almost everything. Right, almost every employee, you know, if I'm cutting hair, I have to have a license to cut hair. Right, if I'm an attorney, I have to have a license to be an attorney. And who controls that? The state of Illinois. So if you owe the state of Illinois money and you have a license, you will lose that license. They will take that license away from you. And so when you try, well, let's negotiate some sort of payment plan, they hold all the cards. And they know through experience that if you have to, you know, because people say, I can't raise that money. I just can't do it until you lose your license. And then all of a sudden you get the money somehow.
How about hot dog vendors?
They have to have a license. Too. Yes.
Probably a food service kind of thing. I mean, there's some all encompassing things. That, right?
That's sales tax, right? When we were mentioning that because I had a little hot dog stand years ago. And if you want to learn how to run a business, just open up a little hot dog stand. You'll see how complicated it is. You know, we talk about use tax. We talk about sales tax. Talk about all of these different licenses that you have to have, or you can't even get. You know, because it's so regulated. But most of our when people come about Illinois, a lot of times I won't take the case because sometimes there's really nothing I can do to help you.
Oh, no.
Yes. Because that's the way Illinois is. It's like, well, what? And I don't want clients that are going to pay me, and then I can't really help them, because then you have an unhappy client, and there's nothing worse than unhappy clients.
Is it the kind of thing when it comes to the state taxes that maybe it isn't on the front burner, maybe not as promoted? Everybody thinks about the IRS and all of that thing. And so maybe the state taxes, you know, aren't necessarily something that are the front of mind. And you mentioned Tennessee. Every state's different. I know there's a number of people I know in states that don't even have state taxes.
Exactly. But then they have these other taxes, and because every state has taxes, right? They might not be property taxes, they might not be sales tax, high sales tax, but they're collecting money somehow, and so when you go like Tennessee, they don't have a large property taxes, but they have other taxes. They have business use taxes. They have that everybody has to pay, so they get around it. So they could say, well, we don't really have a lot of high property taxes, but again, they're making it somewhere else. So the state of Illinois is difficult to deal with because of the leverage that they have, and their willingness to use it, and that's really the thing, right? Because they're willing to close you down. I had a client once, a restaurant, and they were behind in sales tax, and they had 35 people working there, and we're arguing with the IRS, with the Illinois Department of Revenue, trying to come up with a payment plan. And they said, well, we're just going to shut them down. We're like, well, 35 people are going to lose their job. Such is life. That's what happens. So they close them down. They just close them down.
So they don't have that same kind of robust kind of support system.
Exactly. The IRS has a very detailed process that they must go through. You can go to the IRS.gov website and see what they call the Internal Revenue Manual. And every step is spelled out exactly the way. The Illinois Department of Revenue, not so much. It's more of a seat of the pants. And now they have these programs, but they're not as spelled out. A good example also with the state is if people come to see me, we just mentioned that people haven't filed their tax returns in years. So I could get all this information from the federal government. They'll send me all your 1099s. They'll send me all your W-2s. I'll know exactly how much money you've ever paid the IRS. But the Illinois Department of Revenue doesn't have that service. And so if I go back, even if you were a W-2 employee and paid into that system, if I can't prove that you paid that money, you have to pay it again. They want the money again. And there's no way for me to get that information. They have it somewhere, I would assume, but they don't share it with the taxpayers. Very difficult.
And then we mentioned a little bit whether it's the child tax credit or whether the stimulus. Are those sort of kind of built into the plan so people should be able to figure that stuff out? Or is there specific ways to approach it? You know, how is that going to work?
So it's very difficult, these things. And this is another reason why the IRS is so far behind, because Congress implemented these changes, child tax credit, where they started sending checks out, or the stimulus, where they just sent checks out to everybody. And, of course, that's political. And so they got that priority. They took the IRS away from what they were doing and said, you make sure these people get these checks, right?
Right.
And that put everybody behind. But it also did something else. It created mistakes on tax returns because people didn't know how to handle it. And those mistakes now have to go from, we talked earlier about electronic returns, how easily they are processed. And when there's an error, now it's not electronic return. Now it's got to be looked at by a human being. That's what made this whole backup happen in the first place. So again, these things are difficult, and they change all the time, and that's one of the problems.
Well, it's a good thing we have someone to help navigate that world, that kind of tough world that's out there on the tax side. And so we're going to talk more with Stephen as we go on. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with more on Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's staying in for Dave Hochberg.
Home Sweet Home Chicago.
We're going to send you a Mr. Floor hoodie. We're going to send you a Mega Pros hoodie.
Oh, he doesn't even have
He doesn't have hoodies. He's got his cleaning
he's
product.
He's got a cleaner hoodie.
We're going to send you a Mr. Floor cleaning product, Karen, and we're going to help you do our best to help you, okay?
How do you know Karen doesn't want a
hoodie? I love it. Thank you so much.
Karen, you want a hoodie?
I'd love a hoodie.
All right, you get one anyway.
It's a Mega Pros hoodie. It's the only hoodie that could keep you warm and very cool at the same time.
Okay, that's a little creepy. All right, so hang on, Karen.
71 degrees tomorrow.
I know, but it's sometimes it's chilly in the evening.
Okay.
Now back to Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for Dave Hochberg here. Home Sweet Home Chicago. You heard it here. The hoodie that can keep
Raise your hand if you miss Hochberg.
Well, you know,
I'm going to raise my hand because
it's about time.
This is radio. Nice about Hochberg,
but I'm not sure why he couldn't be here. We couldn't like Zoom call him in because he was paying attention enough to be able to compliment the barometric pressure and add in his two cents.
Oh, so why didn't he do something for us?
Well, I'm just really wondering where he is.
He doesn't care. No, he doesn't care.
Oh.
He doesn't care about us.
Aww. That is the voice of Joe Hogan from Mega Pros. And we talked with Stephen. For those people that aren't, contemplating prison time or, installment plans, and maybe you're looking forward to a refund, one of the things that people love to spend their refunds on is their home improvement and with Mega Pros. So, Joe, is this, as we talk about, what is the busy time of year? Is there an uptick, during this time of year where people kind of get that tax thing and say, let's do this kitchen, let's do that bath?
So, there's a thing on Google, and it'll tell you the most searched word right now, and kitchens are the hot word being searched on Google right now. I do think people hit the year running with the idea of, hey, let's try this on. That said, a kitchen's complicated to get done, so you could spend 4 months planning. plan now.
And it is the kind of thing that, like, when you get into it, if you really want to do it right, and of course, a lot of people out there have sort of a dream kitchen in mind, and they want to stay up mm-hmm. with the times, or maybe go with something classic, it can cost, I mean, it's almost like a good percentage of, like, what a house would cost, right, if you do it the right way and you put all those bells and whistles in.
Sure, and it's one of those things that can grow. With the flooring, you're going to take your flooring back into your foyer. We did Tracy's daughter's house,
daughter's kitchen. Autumn.
And you were paying for that, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So nice. Tracy understands how it kept growing. You know,
like, were there any limiting forces where he would be like, hey, Joe, maybe hold back on this? Or was it just whatever she wants?
No, well, the light fixture caught your eye. Remember that one?
Yeah, the light fixture was expensive. But no. I
didn't buy it. Like, it was your wife and your daughter that picked the light fixture on their own.
That is correct.
It wasn't Mega's markup or anything on it. It was just a straight up expensive
light fixture. Just giving the people what they want, right?
Yes. Yes. But
she was very happy with it, so.
Yeah.
Very happy. That was at the onset of the cobalt blue cabinet, too. So for some reason, that became a hot topic. Your daughter was right there with the trend, and we nailed exactly the wrong time. So we had so much trouble getting that cabinet. Remember
that? Blue cabinets, yes.
Mm. Is that the kind of thing that you see? Because you will look at what is, whether it's popular or not, if we think about maybe, older family members who maybe have like the avocado or the harvest gold kind of cabinets, or appliances, and just some things that were not only acceptable, but were cool back at the time. And then you've got some things that are sort of classic, I guess, right? A white cabinet. And then stainless steel has been something that's been popular on the appliance side for a while. But now that's changed where people are going with the different colors. Do you ever, I don't know, you're giving people what they want, Joe, but do you ever kind of counsel them and say, like, hey, I know this seems really cool right now, but in 2 years, it could be something different. Maybe consider other options.
A lot of times people will ask for our help. We can provide counsel. But, the real important thing is that yes, it's going to be for you, and you're going to love it. So if they're going to stay there, it's really up to them. If they're selling their home, we will say, maybe you should ask a realtor about that.
Okay.
Okay? Because they would know current trends and what's going to sell in that market.
I'll go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Joe, do you take the avocado and the gold appliances out of houses and create a warehouse? And 20 years from now, you'll say, now come to my warehouse and look at these beautiful avocado cabinets.
So here's funny. I shouldn't even tell you this. So when we bought our house 30 years ago, the house we have now, we have green avocado cabinets in our kitchen. Okay? And they're painted. They're actually really good looking. We still have those trays, right? My wife, we changed out to all the fancy appliances and everything else, but we never changed the cabinets yet. We just haven't gotten around to it, I guess.
Well, they'll be back in vogue in just another year or two.
I'm thinking that's what I kind of told her. I said, hey, dude,
I think he's spending too much time in Mexico.
These things are coming back.
That's what they call a busman's holiday, right? You don't want to go home. You do it for everybody else. You don't want to put your own cabinets.
Exactly. You know how expensive a kitchen is?
How is that on the family members, though, too? Because they see it, and they see what you do in amazing ways in homes all across, on a regular basis. They're like, hey, why can't we? And then you see, well, we're holding out for something really great.
So my wife has seen everything that Mega can do, of course.
Yes.
So she's my biggest critic when it comes to anything. We are, right now, we're remodeling like the whole outside of our house. We're putting an addition on. We're doing the whole thing. And she wants it done. We're going to get it done.
We'll talk a little bit about just kitchens in general and over the course of the years, how they have become so much more. We talk about the prices being up there and what it is and putting things in. But the kitchen itself has become so much more than maybe it was, decades ago. I remember my grandma's kitchen was probably one-tenth the size of this studio. It was just practical and functional. But they didn't really use it as a gathering space, and it didn't open up to the rest of the house. Kitchens have changed.
Kitchens have changed. The way we used our home really has changed since the pandemic, or that 2020, if you will, because we reinvented
our living
room, right? And you had to have a place for the kids to be. You had to have a place to do your remote learning, and people are working from home. Steve, you moved your office to your home, right?
I did not move it to my home.
Oh.
I moved it across.
Big liar.
No, no.
He moved his home to his office to be more responsive to his customers.
But I did talk to Joe about building on about putting an office in my home. But I did move my office across the street from my house.
Yes. So you got rid of your downtown office.
Exactly. Yes.
And it just makes more sense.
So the travel time saved me 3 hours a day. And you don't really realize it. Well, I did that for 20 years. But to save 3 hours a day has made a huge difference.
And so people are doing that.
Yes.
More people are working in their homes, and they do want their separate workspaces, and they do a lot of gathering in the kitchen.
Just really quick to kind of dovetail sort of these thoughts, because, you know, so many people in the entire country basically had to work and learn from home for a period of time. I had heard in years ago, a friend of mine, he had a home office, and he took deductions for his home office, and that was considered a red flag at the time. Is that changed where now a lot of people are doing it? It's just more normal.
It's still a red flag. And one of the things that happened in 17 is they raised the personal exemptions to such a level that most people don't even take any deductions anymore, because it doesn't make sense to itemize any longer for a lot of people. Some people it still does. Again, as I mentioned, you want to get that off your personal tax returns, because that's a red flag. You know, anytime you're taking things, business expenses off your personal tax returns, going to be a problem.
But you think, you know, as so many people are trying to do different things and work from home, it's just something that they're probably seeing
exactly.
a lot more often. And I've seen, I know that.
That's a good point, though. Is that changing with that, Steve?
Well, it is changing. Again, one of the problems was that they put those exemptions up, and so again, most people don't have itemized deductions anymore, and that's a good thing because it made your taxes easier. Mm-hmm. But then people wanted to have the higher exemptions and the deductions, and it's like one or the other, you know.
And so, the mileage to work, where you're not traveling to work.
exactly.
So when it comes to the kitchens and the bathrooms, some of the things that you see, and if anybody watches, the listeners are watching some of those home improvement shows, they see stuff on television that's a great, you know, I think, inspiration for them to say, hey, can we do this and that?
It's an inspiration, but some of those shows are so unrealistic. I mean, it's just...
Well, fill us in, because that's... Because everybody thinks, hey, you can... I don't know if they think you can do it in 2 days or not, but But there's a lot of... I think they build it in the entertainment side. It's not real.
So I was with a customer, and she is convinced that you could rip up the carpeting and finish your plywood. Honestly, okay, that's what she wanted. She said, no, I've seen it on HGTV or whatever. Awesome. It's like, no, I want my carpeting out. I want you to sand it, and I want you to varnish it.
I'm always amazed at the budgets that they have. It's like, how can you spend $20,000 and redo a home? You can't.
I don't think you could. But,
so I don't know where they come up with those numbers.
I guess refinished plywood.
Hey, that's a start. Anything could be that next trend, and maybe we're starting that idea right here. We're going to take a break. When we come back from news, we're going to have more Home Sweet Home Chicago. Dane in for Dave Hochberg. Keep it here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN Home Sweet Home Chicago in studio. With us, we have Roy Spencer with PermaSeal, Tracy Kahn, Joe Cotton Ford, Stephen Leahy, IRS tax attorney, and from Mega Pros, Joe Hogle. And of course, you as well. You can call 708-312-981-7200 for the Mega Pros call and text line. And so, Joe, we were talking before the break on just
Wait a second. Roy's not. He's eating. I don't know what he's doing.
He's enjoying sushi.
Are you okay, Roy?
I'm fine. Thank you.
He's got to keep his energy levels up.
I know, but just because I was talking, then he's just like, he's doing something different.
Okay, I'm
you're distracting Joe.
Rapt attention now, Joe. You can go.
I just didn't know how he felt about it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan. You were saying something?
No, you don't want to distract him, because he's focusing in on the needs of the listeners here.
Yes,
on Home Sweet Home Chicago. Before the last break, we were talking about how the kitchen is so much more than maybe it was before. Some during the pandemic, where people are spending a lot more time, things have to be more functional, more practical, but also just in general, you know, with open concepts, like the kitchen is really a big hub for things. And so one of the questions that someone had from the 630 was talking about bathroom vanity. Granted, before we get into the bathroom side, and we can, is in the kitchens, are there things that are, because now it seems like whether there used to be, whether it's linoleum or tile and granite, what are some of the hot things now that people are looking for?
So for a floor, is that?
Well, no, for like the countertops.
All right, so the countertops, they're still stone. People are using stone. As the
this lady points out with her bathroom, a stone, you will have to seal it. There is maintenance with a stone, and it can stain. A cultured stone or a composite, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those kind of stones, they really have a lot of nice textures and looks about them right now. So most people are going with, you know, the composite.
Yeah, where it's
man-made.
It gives you sort of the things that you would really appreciate about the stone, right? It's cold, it's nice, it's made of stone, but it has, whether it's the antimicrobial stuff built into it, it's certainly the sort of the, you know, the stain resistance that's built into it, so it's a lot easier to work with.
Sure. Exactly that. You know, a natural stone is porous. That's it.
Now, what about quartz?
The quartz is a man-made, of course.
So you have to seal it and... It takes
no,
maintenance.
Not at all. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
The quartz is actually
95%
epoxy or something.
Okay.
Right?
But for those people, so from the 630 that are looking for, so they've got granite in their vanity, and they're trying to find the best sealer for it. Is there something that you'd recommend?
So you can check any tile store. There's so many different brands of sealer. I don't know a name specific, but you could pay... You could buy a very good sealer that's still going to last you maybe a year. You got to do it.
So it's the kind of thing that you don't just do it once and it's done. It's like a normal maintenance
Dane,
program.
I'm afraid not. No. No, not with natural stone. A granite is porous, and that's the way it wants to be.
And from the 708, and of course, you know, MegaPros also does windows. They said they have window panes that snap into place. Semco, I guess, was the name of the brand of the window. Sure. Any ideas where I can go to get those type window panes? They need some of them replaced.
So one of the things that we do ask for is pictures. What I'm picturing is when they say window panes to snap in, it's the actual grid on the window. That's what I'm thinking they're referring to.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. You're going to have to go back to whoever sells Semco and hope that they can match that thing up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to be specific to that size, that pane of glass.
Because you're going to want to go back to that manufacturer, even though it's similar.
It'll
stick out, right, if it's not the exact.
Well, and also, it's a shot in the dark that you could still buy it.
Sounds like a real pain.
Real pain. You're good on the rail.
Laying in the weeds over there.
They tell me I have a face for radio.
You're good on the radio. I didn't say that.
312-981-7200, the MegaPros call and text line. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to finish the show with your text, your calls, plus a round robin on some of the topics and things that people have.
You know, we still have a lot of time here. We've got to be here 45 more minutes.
Really? Actually, there's a Blackhawks game at 12:30, so we've got to
cram in 12:30?
All the excitement into the next.
We get to go?
Well, I mean, but don't think we're going to let you off the hook. You got a lot of important stuff to do.
I'm getting paid for the full time, though.
Yes, you are.
Okay, cool.
Yes, you are. We sent the
time and a half.
Keep it here, 708-312-981-7200 for the MegaPros call and text line. Home Sweet Home Chicago, 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of Home Sweet Home Chicago is sponsored by David Hochberg at MegaPros Home Improvement and Restoration, Joe Cotton Ford, PermaSeal, and attorney Stephen A. Leahy. For additional sponsors of the Home Sweet Home program, please visit WGNradio.com/Home Sweet Home Chicago.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for David Hochberg as he is on the West Coast, you know, managing. You know, I'm just trying to.
He doesn't want you to say that.
Oh, well, why I said West Coast.
Like
I didn't
Batman
say the specific. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't want anybody.
He's in his lair then in studio with us. Not David. We've got Roy Spencer with PermaSeal, Tracy Kahn with Joe Cotton Ford, Stephen Leahy, IRS tax attorney, and of course, Joe Hogle with MegaPros. 312-981-7200 for the MegaPros call and text line. And we're taking some of those calls and text right now. And Stephen, we had somebody kind of check in as they're looking to kind of you get out of some of the situations or maybe make sense of some of the issues or challenges that they're dealing with.
Well, this is a text came in, and they were asking about the OIC, which is the offer and compromise. And I just want to touch a little bit about this because this is what people hear on the radio all the time. That, you know, pay pennies on the dollar to the IRS, and almost all these companies are trying to sell you this. And I always say, if I have 500 of my clients who wants this, 500 hands go up. Everybody wants it. It's an easy sell because everybody wants it. And here's the facts. In 2020, which is the last year we have statistics, the IRS settled 7.4 million
collection cases, 7.4 million. Of those 7.4 million, 14,500 were offers in compromise. Wow. So less than half, less than a quarter of 1% of all cases are settled that way. So people lead you down this road, I believe, because it sounds so good, and they don't get it. And all we talked a little bit about this earlier about filing your tax return on time because of the statute of limitations that go, what they call the CSET. Well, when you file an offer in compromise, it takes a year or longer for the IRS to consider it, and they add that back onto the statute, the CSET. So all you're doing is adding more time for the IRS to come after you, and in that time, you're still going to pay interest on the money that's being accumulated. So usually, you have to prove that there's no way you can pay that much money, and that's in they call it the doubt to collectability. And it's a very high standard, hard to get. So I just wanted to put that in there. So these people are battling for an offer and compromise. And I don't want to say that they don't get it because I don't know enough about their case. But just most people who tried this, it's not really the way to go. And usually it's a CPA or somebody who doesn't really do collections. Because just because you prepare tax returns doesn't mean you understand what collecting, the collections department of the IRS. It's a whole different
thing. One of the things that you say, and I think it's realistic, right? Maybe it's dispensing a little bit of tough love, and you're saying the best way to stay on top of it or stay in good, you know, standing with the IRS is just comply. Is like, do the right things. Don't take deductions you're not supposed to take. That's take right. Everything you're entitled to. But maybe, so what you're saying is some of these services that are being promoted, they're promoting their own service, and so they get paid, but it may not work out.
Yeah,
the way,
and so if someone contacts me and says, Attorney Leahy, I want an offer and compromise. Will you do that for me? The answer is no, because I don't know enough about you, and that's probably the wrong thing.
But you do negotiate on behalf of your customers.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're negotiating how to pay, how
Correct.
Much I can afford to pay.
Correct. And sometimes the offer is great, and I've got a great example. I had a client who owed $60,000, and they paid $25 to the IRS under an offer and compromise. But the situation has to be right, and it's just not right for most people. And again, it's easy to fall into that trap because that's what everybody wants. And when somebody promises that to you, you're going to say, yeah, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to pay them to do that work for you. But you're probably not going to get it.
So it does happen, but there should be an asterisk by it. Like, your results may vary, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Right? But you're going to consult. You're going to walk them through the whole thing. If you wind up there, great. But that's you're not selling that up front.
Exactly. And again, so that's why I say, you got every case. It's like everything, right? Mm-hmm. Every case is different. So your case, and if someone tells you they know how to solve your problem, and they don't even know what the problem is, like what's your search situation, they got to be lying to you, right?
True.
As we're going through some of the texts that came through, and we had Griffin on from PermaSeal talking a little bit about that. And someone had asked, you know, because it mentioned his situation being a college graduate, going out Arizona State, coming back here and finding that career path within the tribe. And people want to know what his major was, if it was something. He said he had never had experience in that field, but maybe his major was?
It was actually communications. He was a communications major. It really didn't matter to us. It didn't matter that he had a college degree, quite frankly. Just find that for that particular position, the preventive maintenance technician, it's easier to train somebody his age, you know, like 20, 21, 22 type thing. They just came out of a learning environment because there's a lot to learn in a short period of time. So generally, young people that age they're ambitious, they're looking to learn, they're open to learning and things like that. And communications major doesn't hurt. You got communication skills with customers. That's what we're looking for and things like that. But your major really doesn't matter. What matters is your attitude and your values.
Your enthusiasm. And
we can teach you everything else.
And the positivity. It didn't hurt that he was trying to communicate, right? Because even to communicate.
Wouldn't hurt if he was a business major, but wouldn't hurt if he was a philosophy major. You know, it doesn't matter.
The philosophy of waterproofing, right? That's what it is. So, Tracy, one of the things that I had wondered in one of the texts that came in, it was when it comes to the chips that are in there, and of course some of the cars are being delivered now with certain chips that aren't there, is that a new skill set, or is that just like your regular guys at the dealership are able to go ahead and put those last ones in or fit that in? Because typically they would come from the factory that way.
No, when cars come in for service, typically there could be a chip problem with that vehicle. They may have to put a new chip in that vehicle, reprogram it, and send it down the road because it wasn't running properly, or maybe the anti-lock brakes weren't working or whatever. Sometimes when there's a light on, an airbag or whatever, it could be because of a chip. And these guys are doing that on a daily basis. They're replacing these, they're reprogramming them, and they're getting the vehicle back on the road.
When it comes to sort of that interest and excitement over the Bronco, and you mentioned the Jeep as sort of, I don't want to say the competitor, but the thing that people compare it to, where it has an inherent, like, built-in fan base, and then you have the ability to go ahead and customize it, right? Where you can choose all sorts of different things that you want to do it to truly make it your own. Is that something that Ford was thinking of doing, like, right from the get-go, or is it something that they're like, okay, well, this works over here?
Yeah, before we got our first Bronco, and my wife was really big on this, was to get into the accessories, because the Jeep people, on an average, spend almost $3,000 per vehicle to customize their vehicles the way they want it. So my wife had the forethought to put in displays in the showroom and in our parts department for the Bronco specifically, so that people can come in and see all the different accessories that go on Broncos. And so she's done a great job of the accessories, and then also the apparel that goes along with it. Hats, shirts.
You need to be in uniform in order to fully experience your Bronco?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, a guy that is...
And nice job complimenting your wife live on the air.
Yes.
I hope twice. She's listening.
A guy that is... Yes. Joe Hogle has a MegaPros sweatshirt on, and we did have another text in here. We talked about the kitchen, more things, and you can get in there and redo it completely, but from the 630. So it says, "Hi, I like the current configuration of our kitchen, but would like to investigate having the cabinets resurfaced and then the countertops replaced. They plan to be in the home for another 10 to 15 years. Is that a cost-effective solution to upgrading a kitchen, or is there maybe a better way?"
So, Dane, they also say resurface the cabinets or paint them, right? So right now we work with that Miracle Method. Is that the name of his company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's him. But David Hotz is a sponsor on the show. He's a great guy. So, yes, he has a great way to paint your cabinets and then change the countertops out. You're all set. All right, you're going to have to change the sink. There's other things that you could do at the same time.
But it's a way that you can go ahead.
Absolutely. We call it a kitchen tune-up. You can do some lighting. You can change the sink, change the faucet.
Will he paint the cabinets avocado?
You know, if you want it.
You know what, wise guy? Yes.
Some people, wise guy?
Some people are painting avocado, Chase. And I'm telling you and my wife the same thing.
Keeping up with the Hogles.
So in the last
trendsetter.
In the last 1 minute, we got to be out at 12:30 to send it to Joe Brandt for the Blackhawks pregame. But
I miss Joe Brandt.
This is, you don't have to. He's in the next room. We can say hi to him on the way out. This is the time of year, too, where people are contemplating their spring breaks. Joe was talking earlier in the program about Puerto Vallarta. You want to, like, as we run through in just, 10 seconds each. So where is a place? And of course, we love Chicago, home sweet home. But where would you guys, like, go, Steven, start with you. Where's your, if you're going to go on spring break, where are you going to go?
Cabo.
Any special reason?
I just love it down there.
Did you fall in love in there, Steve? Did you fall in love there?
Again.
And Roy?
I'd go to Puerto Morelos.
Okay.
Puerto Morelos. Oh, why don't you come by me? Wow.
Where's that?
You're there.
Mostly because you're there.
Tracy, where do you go?
I would go to Costa Rica. Any chance I get to go to Costa Rica, I love it down there. The people are nice. There's very little crime. It's just a great place to be.
And Joe, you got 10 seconds. Where would you go? Back to Puerto Vallarta on the bike?
I would. I think I could still get in there.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Stay tuned and tune in, of course, next week. And now we're going to send it over to Joe Brandt for the Blackhawks pregame here on 720 WGN.